It wasn't just a color. It was a warning, a prayer, a battlefield drawn in cotton. And the British feared it, not because they understood it, but because they couldn't. The red cloth Queen Nanny wore wasn't a costume. It was a consecrated weapon, a signal to her people, and a terror to her enemies. This isn't about fashion. This is about the sacred geometry of resistance. This is about why, even now, red cloth waves in protests, hangs in doorways, and wraps around the arms of those who refuse to be broken. This is about why Babylon trembled at the sight of a woman in red. Let's begin with what they saw. Welcome to the History of the Caribbean audiobook. If you haven't already, we invite you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss a story. Today, we're honored to bring you Why the British Feared the Red Cloth. Get ready to immerse yourself in a powerful narrative that goes beyond music into legacy, resistance, and roots. Because here, our mission is simple: to keep our culture alive, one story at a time. To the British, Queen Nanny appeared from the trees barefoot, silent, unmoving, except for the blood-colored cloth wrapped around her head, waist, or shoulders. They called it savage, primitive, threatening, but deep down, they called it something else. They called it unnatural, because the cloth didn't burn in fire, because it stayed bright through storms, because they swore it shimmered under moonlight, pulsed like a heartbeat, moved even when wind was still. In truth, what they feared was meaning. In African cosmology, colors speak. Red is not just color. It is frequency. In Ashanti and Akan traditions, the same roots that birthed Nanny, red is the color of war, bloodline, ancestral presence, and spiritual activation. It is worn during funerals, battle rites, and sacred summoning. It is the veil between the living and the dead. So when Nanny wrapped herself in red, she wasn't dressing for intimidation. She was summoning protection, calling her bloodline, channeling power, becoming the storm. Witnesses described it as glowing, as if it wasn't cloth at all, but fire folded into fabric. British reports, quietly archived, mentioned strange reactions to her appearance. Soldiers became disoriented. Dogs refused to follow her scent. Officers reported hallucinations, visions of red rivers, of women with burning eyes. Some collapsed at the mere sight of her, because the red cloth wasn't fabric. It was a signal, and only those with clean hearts could look directly at it. But the red cloth was not just spiritual. It was strategic. It signaled readiness. When maroon warriors saw the red tied around Nanny's waist, they knew what to do. No shouting, no horns, just the cloth. It could mean attack. It could mean scatter. It could mean stand firm and don't blink. And in the chaos of bush warfare, where visibility was low, but energy was everything, red became command. Let's speak on what red meant to the maroons themselves. To the women in Moortown, red cloth was sacred. They used it to tie herbs in healing bundles, to bless the wombs of girls entering womanhood, to mark trees that had spiritual significance, to bind dolls that held ancestral guidance. And they wore it when they needed strength. Not as ornament, but as armor. To this day, if you walk through maroon communities, you'll still find red tucked discreetly into homes, tied above doors, buried in soil, wrapped around prayer items. It is not decoration. It is invocation. There's a story passed down from Moortown. A British patrol once reached a clearing and found nothing but a single red cloth tied to a tree. They waited. Nothing happened. Then another cloth appeared, this time tied to a bush behind them. The men panicked. No footsteps. No sounds. Just cloth. They fired into the woods blindly. Hit nothing. The next morning, three of their rifles were found disassembled, stacked neatly, wrapped in red. None of those men returned to the hills again. Red cloth became Nanny's signature. No matter where she moved, it appeared. Even in stories of her spirit today, those who claim to have seen her describe the same thing. A blur of red, a flash across the treeline, a figure wrapped in fire-colored silk walking with the moonlight. The red cloth has become a symbol of defiance, clarity, and ancestral connection, all in one. It's why you see it in revolutions across the diaspora, from Haiti to Ghana, from Kingston to Chicago. It's in head wraps, on flags, on altars, in protests. It whispers, "We remember who we are, and we are not afraid." So why did the British fear the red cloth? Because it couldn't be reasoned with. Because it refused to hide. Because it carried a power they had no doctrine for. Because it told the truth louder than their weapons. It made Nanny more than human. It made her legend, not because it granted her power, but because it revealed the power that was always there. So what do we take from this? We ask ourselves, what are we wrapping ourselves in today? Is it fear? Is it shame? Or are we wrapping ourselves in the memory of warriors, in the bloodline of fire, in the unbreakable thread of spirit that says, touch me, and you touch every ancestor who walks behind me. The red cloth lives on, in you, in your resistance, in your refusal to be small. So tie it, wrap it, wear it, and walk like a storm through the spaces where fear once lived.